Katha Rupina Sutra. World we live in. I'm sitting there doing Dyson and I got two text messages from my dentist. It's like, you know, that a week ago they sent me an email and I had to confirm my appointment. And I said, okay, that's sort of reasonable. I'm in a business where no shows and cancellations are not, you know, I understand that. But then I'm sitting there. I got two text messages. So, you must know my memory. Okay. So Jamie recently mentioned that she's having an online discussion with a number of people who believe that the precepts are only necessary for those who aren't enlightened, and that after enlightenment, they are no longer needed. I thought that would be an interesting question for us to explore. However, I quickly realized that I have no idea what enlightenment is. So in preparation for this talk, I set out to find out what that term means. First, I went directly to a source of timeless wisdom. Good morning, Siri.
Good morning.
Good morning, Siri. Peter, she replied in a sultry tone. Siri, what is enlightenment? I asked. There was no reply. Thinking that perhaps I hadn't enunciated clearly enough, I repeated my query. Once again, silence. How could it be that she wasn't answering? I tried several more times, but there was only silence. Not even her usual reply of, I can't help you with that, Peter. Then it hit me. This wasn't the absence of a response. Like Shakyamuni Buddha, Siri was maintaining noble silence. I was deeply moved by her silent response. But being unable to fathom the depths of her meaning, I was no closer to finding the answer about enlightenment I was seeking. Don't know who Siri is?
No, I didn't know who Siri is.
She's the genie in the box here that you talk to. Here this morning. Siri, can you say hi to Pam?
I
couldn't
find Pam in your contact.
Sorry, Siri.
Okay, so that's Siri. Okay. Thank you. That helps.
So, I went to another source of the perennial truths, Wikipedia. They were much more helpful, pointing out that there are several categories of enlightenment, including in culture, in computing, in film and television, in music, and in a category of other. culture appeared to be the most promising category for my inquiry, so I opened that page. There I learned that there was an Age of Enlightenment, which included Scottish, American, Polish, Catholic, Russian, Spanish, modern Greek, and Jewish enlightenments. There was also Enlightenment, an artistic performance at the Summer Paralympics, and there was the Ionian Enlightenment of the ancient Greeks. Finally, I scrolled further down, and I found a link for spiritual enlightenment. There, I learned that in the spiritual context, enlightenment refers to the full comprehension of a situation to expansive awareness. It is also a translation of the Buddhist terms bodhi, kensho, and satori, which are related to moksha, liberation in the Hindu religion, kevala jhana in Jainism, and Utsha in Zoroastrianism. In Western culture, it refers to self-realization, seeing the true self, which Wikipedia describes as a substantial essence which is covered over by social conditioning. Of course, this definition contradicts Zen, which teaches that nothing whatsoever is substantial. So I continued to dig deeper into the term bodhi, which literally means awakened. In Theravadan Buddhism, it referred to the extinction of the three poisons, greed, anger, and ignorance or delusion, which resulted in a state that was synonymous with nirvana. That's a little different from satori, a Japanese word which refers to having the experience of kensho, an experience of opening and seeing one's true nature. However, even though I was finding some clarification for the term enlightenment, I wasn't sure about the possibility that experiencing enlightenment would eliminate the necessity of the precepts. If one possessed absolutely no greed, anger, or delusion, would be beyond making irresponsible or hurtful choices? Perhaps. But it is possible. Is it possible to be completely dispossessed of those ego-based states? Is there such a thing as pure enlightenment, a state of awakening which is so complete that realization is unending, fully undifferentiated, and whose absolute clarity is boundless and uninterrupted? Is it possible to live continuously in such a state where the thought of I, the dissolution of reality into self and other, never occurs? Perhaps Shakyamuni reached such a state. That seems entirely possible to me. However, even the Dalai Lama, who in my estimation is one of the most deeply enlightened beings alive today, acknowledges that he experiences anger. If that is true, what of the rest of us? I would believe that while we may have moments of clarity where we are awakened, seeing deeply into our own true nature, those are only moments, all too fleeting glimpses. As soon as the thought of myself arises, heaven and earth are set apart. We are back in the deluded perception where subject and object are differentiated. In that reality, there is mine, and therefore not mine. There is other, you, and you have the capacity to anger me. There is the unfolding of one delusion after another. Personally, I find it completely unproductive to speculate about possibilities that may exist outside the realm of ordinary human experience and capabilities. Whether Buddhas or great bodhisattvas can live completely free from the pull of self has no particular relevance to me, because it's not a description of my life. I see Peter arising continually, and I must contend with his remarkable capacity to become attached to an endless string of delusions. That is my ceaseless practice. Now, hearing this, you may say that perhaps that simply means that Peter is not enlightened, that in spite of being a Zen teacher, he has many more years of practice ahead of him, for he is sufficiently free of the pitfalls of self and is beyond the need for the practice of the precepts. I would only take exception with one aspect of that statement. Many years of practice won't be sufficient for Peter. Rather, many lifetimes, even many kalpas, will need to pass before he begins to realize a pristine state of enlightenment. Still, you may say that Peter is not a good example, since he is only a sensei and has only been 5 years since he was given Dharma transmission. What of the great Roshis, those who have been taught for 15 or 20 years? I can't speak for them, but I only have to look at the scandals that very mature teachers have been involved in over the years to think that they too are susceptible to self-centered thoughts, impulses, and actions. I believe that we must beware of elevating libertine excesses and the exploitation of students to the status of crazy wisdom. We should not mistake those for the Dharma, no matter how enlightened we may believe that the teacher is. Ultimately, there is no spiritual practice that can relieve us of our humanity, our fallibility, our weaknesses, our vulnerability, and therefore our capacity to act selfishly and harm others. I believe that we all need to carefully consider the precepts and work to live in accord with them as a daily practice. I vow to be one with the Buddha. I vow to be one with the Dharma. I vow to be one with the Sangha. I vow to cease from evil. I vow to do good. I vow to do good for others. I vow to take up the way of not killing. I vow to take up the way of not stealing. I vow to take up the way of not being greedy. I vow to take up the way of not being ignorant. I vow to take up the way of not talking about others' errors or faults. I vow to take up the way of not elevating myself and blaming others. I vow to take up the way of not being stingy. I vow to take up the way of not being angry. I vow to take up the way of not speaking ill of the three treasures. I vow to take up the way of loving kindness and nonviolence. The work of living in accord with these precepts is an endless challenge. To believe that we can be so enlightened that we are somehow free from the need to regularly pay attention to them and their relationship to our lives is a pernicious delusion that can lead to harmful excesses. The precepts are the essence of the Buddha's way. Let's continually study and practice this way together.
Thank you.
Do you want to?
Let me turn on the recordings. We don't need a garage talk for posterity.